The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, happy Thursday, September the 24th. It's still George Brockman on The George Show. You've made it halfway through. We've got 2 hours left before we turn it over to Charlie Kirk, and then we get live and local again with Deb Floor at 3 and Stefan at 4. End of this hour, we're going to be joined by Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, Army vet and all-around good guy. He's going to call into the show from outside of a hearing. We always say that with our fingers crossed because you never know with these senators. Their schedules are just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And then in the 9 o'clock hour at the end, we're going to be joined by John Caldera. And that's important because John is the president of the Independence Institute. And the Independence Institute is doing something very special tonight. It's for our governor. It's the Not So Libertarian Block Party honoring Governor Jared Polis. That's right. Honoring Governor Jared Polis for a mere $35. Now, actually, it's a 10-cent ticket. But with all of the governor's fees that he has signed into law, and those, of course, are fees that look remarkably like taxes. They feel like taxes, but they don't actually get the protections of Tabor. That means they have to go through us first. It adds up to $35. However, if you go to thinkfreedom.org and you click on the picture of the governor and you get to buy in the tickets, and I encourage you to do that, you type in there George, which tells them that you heard about it here on this show. And you get 10 bucks off. That drops it all the way down to $25. But here's something better. If you send in a toast or call in a toast to our governor for this honor of being the not-so-libertarian governor of the state of Colorado, and you are picked by John Caldera at the end of the 9 o'clock hour, you go for free. Two tickets for F-R-E-E free. Mm-hmm. Now, we've had toasts come in on the 710KNUS app and 710KNUS.com. I've read some of them on here. Here's another one, a toast to the voters in Colorado who actually believe Polis used Meat Out Day to boost meat sales. Bless their hearts. That's funny. Here's another one. Oh, my God. This one's almost like a book. Sweet good grief. I'm going to save this one because we have two callers on the line. You can be the third. And call in. If you get a busy signal, I'll tell you when there's a line open. There is one right now, 303-696-1971. This looks like a great toast. I just need to have time to read this. Let's go right to Joan. Joan, you are on 710KNUS. Two things. One, did you have thoughts on the debate last night if you watched it? And two, do you have some toast?
I didn't get to watch it. I had another meeting. But I am so grateful that you had coverage of it from an eyewitness. It made me feel like I was there. She was really spectacular.
Yeah, Paula did great.
And painted the picture really well. And after what you said about the working family
party, yeah,
poll that they did in Denver,
yeah,
I am just more optimistic for Heidi than I have been in a long time.
Joan, along those lines, some of that is tongue-in-cheek in this way. You and I both know they don't give a crap about electing women to office. They only give a crap about electing lefty progressive women to office. So when they say, oh, it's about getting women in office, they're going to draw a line at Heidi and Pam and anyone else who happens to be center-right. Don't you think that's going to happen? Or do you think they're true to their word, that the gender is the dominant issue for them?
Well, I just got a notification from Chris Kennedy about the candidates that are in Jefferson County. And I see two men, and the rest of them are the women that have been, indoctrinated by the left.
Well, I hope that they're true to their word and that they're interested in putting women in positions of office. And it's weird to say that because you and I are not part of a party or even a political ideology that says that gender should be part of the analysis. The analysis should be start and stop. Are you the best candidate for the office? And if it turns out that that's all women candidates, then we don't care. We're voting for all women candidates. If it's none, then it's none. We don't care about that. We think equality applies towards things like that, what comes out of your brain, not your parts. You know what I mean?
Well, you can talk all day about Brittany Titone.
Well, I could, but I'm not going to.
And gender issues. We have that to deal with here in Jefferson County. And there is a great person running against him.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Anyway,
I think Brittany defines as
a
woman.
You know, George, you just threw me today.
Sorry.
I have a toast.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why I made this toast is because Heidi was so passionate about fentanyl and what it is. And so here's my toast. A toast to Polis for being so business friendly to Narcan, the reversal for the anthrax fentanyl poison that boosted sales to all the schools, cops, and made it the must-have teen accessory. Thank you, Polis, for signing the terrible law that made poison and sales such a misdemeanor, possession and sales such a misdemeanor. And I am sure you did that with Brittany Patterson standing next to you and her support of the supervised injection site. Good job, Polis.
Here's to you. And I think what happens is everybody doesn't take a drink at that toast. They all take some randomly selected pill, and they just take hoping against hope that there isn't fentanyl in it. It's not really a toast involving alcohol. It's a toast involving street-available pills. They're in multicolored because now you know there's rainbow fentanyl out there to try to attract kids to take it and get killed from it. So.
You know, George, I am really concerned about this colored thing, and I've been standing in the store looking at the Halloween candy, and I've been sitting there going, if I were a person who was, you know, taking my child trick-or-treating, would I go to strangers' doors? And I can remember when we x-rayed the candy because people put razor blades and apples and such, and I just feel like they are taking all the joy out of our lives. And that's why I'm so excited about what John Caldera is doing today and this toasting and stuff. Because, one, we need to recognize all of the stuff that he has been doing. And, two, we just have to be happier people. Republicans are happy people, and they're working really hard at suppressing the joy.
If you watch Heidi at all on the campaign trail, or you listen to her on the radio or whatever, you can see she is joyful. She has laughter in her voice. She smiles all the time. She's very positive. Last night was the most impassioned that I have seen her to date on the campaign trail, and she still found time to smile throughout this whole thing, even when I think sometimes she would get aghast at the governor, but she'd quickly recover and get back to all smiles. I mean, when the governor talked about his efforts to, you know, be super tough on fentanyl, you could hear her go, "What?" You know, in the back, you got to be kidding me. But she was still very, very positive. Joan, as always, thanks for the great phone call. And I hope that you end up out there at Market Station today for the special Not So Libertarian Block Party honoring our governor.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, Joan. Talk to you soon. Hey, Joan's line is open, 303-696-1971. Ben, you're on 710. Ben, one, do you have a toast? But if you don't, two, did you get a chance to watch the debate either live or online?
Yeah, I watched the whole debate last night.
And what are your thoughts?
I think Heidi Gnall probably won that debate overall, but I think she didn't get pressed on some of the issues that she has some weak points on. For example,
let's take those things in two things. Why do you think she won? And then we'll get to, hey, what are the issues you think she needed to be pressed on?
Jared Polis had some weird comments. I mean, for example, like the the meatless comment, like, oh, yeah, I promoted this to actually endorse meat industry. It's like, no, he didn't.
He tried to claim it was reverse psychology. Those are his words that I used, reverse psychology. Does anybody on the planet Earth believe that? And two, is just this just further evidence that he, and a lot of politicians are like this, incapable of admitting a mistake?
Yeah. So that was a prime example. You know, I do think he's weak on a lot of the criminal justice and, you know, drug issues and things that are going on in the state right now. I think that's one of his weak points. At the same time, I think, like, a lot of the blame goes towards the people at the top when it's not necessarily 100% their fault. But, you know, that's where the blame ends up lying. So,
well, I guess when you're going to take credit for any economic positives that take place, even if you had nothing to do with them, you got to have to eat the bad stuff, too. And that includes crime. But I'll say this. Unlike the economic stuff, you can absolutely point to bills he signed into law that touch upon the things that we have, whether it's making fentanyl a misdemeanor, signing a law into place that allows convicted drug dealers and car thieves to have guns on our streets, pushing for a parole board to turn more and more people out of prison even after the pandemic has waned. Those are all things you can point to and say that is a direct contributing factor. Is he on the hook for all of it? I don't know that you can say that, but you cannot deny what he's done in public safety.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So tell me what the issues are you think that Heidi should have been pressed on.
Well, first of all, I just don't think she's very good at math because she wants to implement a 0% income tax for Colorado, which is great. And yeah, I want a pony and a unicorn for my birthday, but
Wait a minute, doesn't work. A pony and a unicorn? I mean, one or the other. Why
as,
both?
As long as we're dealing with fake things that won't happen because it's not real.
You could get a pony.
Yeah, it's 36% of our revenue stream for Colorado is income tax. And if you look at where we spend money, 2/3 of that is healthcare and education. So when you say, yeah, we're just going to cut 36% of our revenue stream and not cut jobs for teachers, not take money away from seniors who, you know, like that's unrealistic. And she should have got pressed on that. When I remember her, she kept interrupting him. It was like, well, there's going to be fees. There's going to be something else. And she's like, that's a lie. That's a lie. She kept interrupting him while that was going on. I'm like, no, that's not a lie.
Well,
you're going to have to make up for that money,
Ben,
somewhere.
You probably have a better mind for this than I do. But she gave an answer in that answer about here's where she's going to make up the loss. I just didn't memorize what it was. But part
she was
of it
talking
was,
about cutting government employees by 10% each year. And it was like,
no.
Okay.
What she talked about was holding firm the current employment level of the state. And by doing that, you would end up having a 10% reduction just through normal retirement, nutrition, and all those things. That's what she had talked about.
A lot of that doesn't work because where most of these jobs are, I mean, the largest employer in government is teachers. I mean, so do you want to have class sizes with 40 kindergartners?
Teachers aren't employed by the state. That's not something she can impact. The teachers are hired by the individual school districts,
That's where the majority of school district income comes from, is state.
They may get the supplemental pay and all that stuff from there. There's no doubt about that. But in terms of her ability to not replace, she didn't have the ability to impact that. So I get what you're saying there. But I think one of the things that she was talking about is trying to take a look at government across the board. And again, I haven't done the math, Ben, but it's not just to hold state employees current so that you get that 10%, you know, attrition reduction every year. But, you know, she talked about whether or not, I think she asked the question, don't you think we could find 5% in fraud, waste, and abuse? That's a pretty common mantra for most politicians. But there are other things you could look at. When you look at the criminal justice system, for instance, there is no faster growing component of that than the public defender's office. Public defender's office over the last decade has grown more quickly than almost any other aspect of state government. You roll that into the judiciary, and what you see are, I think, the three largest or four largest components of the state budget, biggest mandatory obligations. Judiciary is one of them. That can't make sense. We're not doing something right if we're spending that much on judiciary and seeing this kind of poor performance out of the criminal justice system.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah, that might be something that needs to be addressed, but also that's something that is enshrined in our Constitution is that everybody has the right to legal counsel. So we need to figure out something else.
There are a bunch of states that don't have a state public defender system. There's nothing that says we have to have a public defender system. We could have, in fact, that's why we have an alternate defense counsel office, also one of the fastest growing components of state government, the alternate defense counsel. We can provide that, but there's no obligation. We have a state public defender system that has amongst its leadership some of the highest paid state employees in Colorado, and they all get para. Almost every single one of your deputy district attorneys in the state of Colorado, they don't get para. They don't get any kind of retirement like that. They get like a 401 something or other like you and I have. But the public defender's office, and they do a great job. They're one of the best in the country, maybe the best trained, best funded public defender's offices in America. And we ought to take pride in that. But let's also recognize they gobble up a big chunk of the budget.
Okay, but I'm saying that that's not – I've looked at the budget numbers, and where – two-thirds of the money is going is education and health care. So you can nip away at like these little small pieces here and there, but at the end of the day, two-thirds of the budget, the biggest chunk is health care, second biggest budget chunk is K-12 education, and the third biggest is higher education college funds. And that amounts for about two-thirds of the Colorado spending bill.
Yeah, keep in mind, though, too, she's not alone in calling for zero income tax. The other person that did that was someone named Jared Polis.
I don't remember that. I know he's looking for a reduction this year.
Oh, no, he absolutely came out and said, I would love to see no income tax for the state of Colorado. I could try to find the clip out there somewhere, but he has actually come out and said that within the last year. I think he said that within the last year.
Okay.
Ben, any toast for the governor, good, bad, or otherwise?
No, not really.
Ben!
I think he did a crummy job, honestly, on this debate. So
I don't think he did well either, but remember this. When Romney and Obama debated at DU, do you remember that some years ago? I think everybody's consensus was Romney cleaned his clock. And then in the debates after that, the other Barack Obama showed up, the real communicator, the guy that was charismatic and good. I don't know if Jared Polis has that in him, but I agree with you. I don't think he won last night's debate. I just, as a guy who's been there, I don't think that has any impact on the election. You cannot win an election by being a great debater. I proved that with the attorney general's race in 2018. But you can blow up your campaign. You can say something or do something cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in a debate that hurts you, but you can't win your campaign in a debate.
Yeah, it's saving your – I mean, I looked at 538 a day or two ago, and Ganahl's down 13 points on their polling average. So, you know, it's Polis's race to lose at the moment, and I don't think he did himself any favors last night.
No, but I don't think he hurt himself too much. I think that ridiculous comment about the impossible meet is something. I also think, though, that there's no chance it's a 13-point divide. Do I think he's ahead? Undoubtedly, I think he's ahead. It's going to continue to tighten. There's no way he wins that race by 13 points. I mean, short of them finding something explosive, October surprise-y about Heidi, and I just don't see that happening. There's no chance he wins this by 13 points. This is not Trump 2020. You know what I mean? That's not gonna be the case here. But I think it is a tougher uphill battle for her than for any of the other statewide candidates. And in part, it's because this is a dude who can scratch a check for $25 million, and he has been largely protected by the mainstream media from his foibles. My guess is ain't nobody going to report on the fact that he tried to claim the impossible meat thing, other than you and I talking about it, that anyone's going to report on the fact that he tried to claim that as a deliberate act of reverse psychology. That's just dumb.
Yeah, right. I think 5% of the electorate is actually going to watch that debate, and then most people are going to get little clips and pieces from whatever the media is going to pump out.
Ben, I love your optimism. I don't think it'll be 1% of the voting populace that watches that debate, but you and I did, and that makes for good radio. Ben, as always, thanks for taking time out of your morning to give us a call. Listen, toasts keep coming in on the text, too. We'll read those when we come back, but you keep them coming. Give a toast for the not-so-libertarian Bloc Party, the honor for Governor Jared Polis later this evening at Mile High Station. You can get your tickets at thinkfreedom.org. You type in George, you get $10 off the ticket. If you give us a good enough toast, and Billy and I will decide which three to give to John, you can then go for FREE. And unlike the governor's claim that, like, free kindergarten, free preschool. This is really free. Like, ain't nobody going to go out of pocket for this. This isn't like taxpayer subsidized free. This is like real free. Like, nobody has to pay for these tickets. You just have to earn them. Give us a call at 303-696-1971 to share with us your toast, as Joan did. Or you can hit us with these with the text. We're getting a bunch of these to come in. Keep that going, too, at the 710KNUS app or 710KNUS.com. At the end of the hour, probably about 8:40-ish, we're going to be joined by Senator Tom Cotton. And then we'll get into the 9 o'clock hour with you and me and some other topics. I do want to tell you about Dan Kaplis. Dan's not just a friend and a friend of the show. Dan is also maybe the premier civil attorney in the state of Colorado. And that's not me saying that because I used to work for him 15 years ago. That's his product saying that. This is a guy who has back-to-back multi-million dollar outcomes on cases. That's unheard of in the state of Colorado. Five of those things? Nobody's ever documented that before. How about the biggest outcome against a trucking company in the history of the state of Colorado? That's right. He and Babar Wahid, one of the partners in his firm, I've known Babar forever, did his first trial with him in Arapaho years ago. They got that. And right now, this team is chock full of fighters. And what do they fight for? You. They fight for victims. They fight for people whose lives have been changed forever by the negligence or recklessness of others. And if you're looking for someone that's going to rush to get you just a check in your pocket, don't call these folks. Don't do that. That's not them. If you're like, listen, my life has changed and I know the system can't put me back together, but it can give me something to help me get through the rest of life. I know it can't give me the quality of life I had back, but it can do something. Then you want to call these guys. These are the folks that will get you the most compensation you can possibly get under our civil system. That doesn't make everything right again, but it gets you dang close. And these are the folks that can do it. Give them a call, 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003, or reach out to Dan at dankaplislaw.com. That's Kaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S, dankaplislaw.com. When we come back, you, me, 303-696-1971, and the Texas George Brockler on The George Show, 710-KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710-KNUS. As always, we like to honor our callers. Got a bunch of great texters in here, but I want to get to Jennifer. Jennifer, you're on 710-KNUS. What are your thoughts?
Good morning, George.
Good morning.
You know, the comment that I think made me the angriest was him trying to say that meet out day was reverse psychology. I mean, how dumb does he think we are?
Pretty dumb.
And what bothers me, and I hate to use this word because this word is overused so much in our society, but it's a classic form of gaslighting. You know, you say one thing or a person says one thing, and then they go on to deny it later. So he can make all the promises he wants, but if he's reelected, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, I think we're going to get more of the same. I think he proved that in each of his answers where he didn't have something good. Public safety is the perfect one. You'll remember that he doesn't ever answer what are the prime drivers of the increase in crime, putting us in these record levels. But he does say, I promise that we'll get it done. If you elect me in the next four years, I promise we'll get it done. And by the way, kids will go camping and crime will recede. Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Camping. Camping. That's a great solution.
It's funny, too, because Aurora's enacted a camping ban. No, I'm kidding. So different kind of camping. But this is a guy who was able to dribble out one-line facts or narratives over the course of 2 minutes and 40 seconds that never once addressed the issue. I mean, at one point, you can see his mind spinning, and he's like, and of course, police chiefs, and thankfully, we don't know what their party affiliation is. I'm like, what in the hell are you talking about? Like, why is that even
exactly
in your answer, man? Just get to it. And he talked about, we've put things in place that were based on this brain trust. I'm like, hold on. Are you saying law enforcement was behind the misdemeanorization of what you called anthrax? Because that is bunk, buddy. That is not true.
Well, what I don't understand was he wasn't prepared with solutions. You would think going into this, because you were right, he was so practiced and prepared and overly, you know, prepared, I would say, to be witty and whatever, that I'm surprised he doesn't at least have two solutions. That's all we need, two solutions to this issue, and then maybe we might listen. But it was dodge and spin and, witty comment here, and it just was not impressive. But to your point about Barack Obama, you're right. I mean, Obama blew his first debate, and he came back strong. And I do question, how much does it matter to voters? How much are people paying attention?
He would have to get completely blown up. One, and by the way, it's not enough for him to misstep. If Heidi missteps, Kyle Clark and the rest will take care of the rest, right? But if he missteps, it would require the media to actually do their jobs and highlight that for Colorado voters. They never would. So we're never, ever going to get there. So I don't really think he can lose. He can't win for sure. I don't think he can lose in a debate. He'd have to do something crazy like start choking Heidi, you know? And even then, I don't know if they cover.
Maybe we'll have an October surprise. that is not beyond the realm of possibilities.
No,
we could have
not an
October surprise.
It's not. Jennifer, as always, it's great to hear your voice. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. Number 303-696-1971. Here's what I want to do. We have a guy named Tom Cotton. He's been elected to the United States Senate from Arkansas, Army vet, captain in the Army when he got out. He's been to two places, one called Afghanistan, never been there. Iraq, the other, I have been there. He was there when things were a little more Wild Westy than when I was there. He's going to take a little bit of a break outside of his hearing room, my understanding is, and join us at 8:40 for as many minutes as he can possibly give us. And if you know a senator's schedule, you know how crazy that can be. So I want to cut away, give us a chance to get that thing lined up so we can have that phone call for as long as possible. And then at the end of the hour, we'll get on the top of things and come back and start taking more of these texts for the toast, which I continue to encourage you to do, a toast to our not-so-libertarian governor for the event put on by the Independence Institute tonight. You can do that at the app, online, or you can give us a call at 303-696-1971. It's me, George Brockler, on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Well, the remedy for a senator who is caught up in a hearing is to give him the opportunity to come in at a later time. So 9:03. And again, always subject to the schedule of the senator, but the hearing he's in right now is going long. So we just heard from their people. They'd like to do it at 9:03 our time. I said good to go. That gives us a chance to go to the text right here. Some of them toast, some of them just comments on what we've been going through so far. Here's a texter. The meet out day comment from Polis was clearly a joke. Now, and I'll read the rest of the text, but it wasn't clearly a joke. It may have been a joke. But nothing that the governor delivers is clear one way or the other because he struggles to express genuine human emotion. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's just his personality or just his style that he's developed over the years. It is very difficult to judge what emotion he's trying to put out there. So it says anybody that truly thinks he thought he was using reverse psychology is reaching. I took it as self-deprecating knowledge that was a bad choice on his part. Maybe. It'd be interesting to hear him say, you know what, that was, at the time I thought it was super smart, turned out it didn't work out. There are politicians who will say that. He ain't one of them, right? Like, maybe that was self-deprecating humor. I just think his delivery is so poor. It's so challenging. Here's one, George, regarding eliminating state taxes. I thought marijuana tax was going to fund schools. What happened? Where's that money going? Up in smoke. Funny. I think that meat remark that Polis did is great basis for a meme. Yes, I think that's true. Here's one. Do you think he underestimated his opponent? And my response was, I think he doesn't care and knows he doesn't have to. And I think that that's true. He did a debate that was not covered by any of the news outlets. It was just down there at the Pueblo Chamber of Commerce. And he can mail it in if he wants. I don't know if that was mailing it in. It certainly didn't seem strong to me. But he doesn't have to care. Nobody's going to ever hold him accountable. The debates can only serve the purpose of potentially advancing the cause of the Republican candidate in the state of Colorado, only if the Democrat stumbles. I mean, there's just debates in the political environment that we're in right now. If you don't have fair coverage across the board, what's the point, right? Like, you do it because that's what happens on a campaign trail. Do I think you could run and win an election? By the way, just so you know, up on Fox, another Polis ad. He continues to like put up these things where Polis signs bill to make fentanyl easier to get or something. I don't know what it was, but Nonetheless, he is spending money and he is up on the TV quite a bit. So if you don't have a media that makes the answers matter and holds him accountable with follow-up questions to his answers, what's the point? You know, Ben said 5% of the electorate. It ain't even going to be 1%, honestly. It'll be 5% of 1% at most that even know there was a debate in Pueblo, let alone watch the debate. Nobody commits that kind of time. You'd have to TikTok the debate to make it digestible by your regular voters. Here's one. To me, it was no different. This is a follow-on to the delivery sucked part. To me, it was no different than people saying Obama was one of the best gun salesmen. Yeah, I guess. Reverse psychology never worked on children. By the way, they were too smart for that. Well, in the same texture. Well, reverse psychology first came out in the 60s and 70s to use on your children by Dr. Spock. The Democrat Party have embraced that because it's a false narrative and you keep pushing it and you get them to think that it's their idea. By the way, I've had impossible meat, not because Jared said to eat it, but my son was intrigued by it. He thought he might want to try it. We were at, I think, Qdoba. And I said, okay, here's the deal, buddy. If you do it, I'll do it. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever eaten. It wasn't even the worst meat I've ever eaten, but I'm not sure I'm going to keep that train going. Daddy likes his red meat, chicken, pulled pork, all that stuff way too much. Here's one, his mother having an aneurysm. I wanted to get to, I'm trying to find, here it is, a toast. Sweet goodness. It said, and keep in mind, these letters mean something different than you think. It's a toast. F you, Polis. Found unacceptable. See, F you. Found unacceptable by the people. Fights understanding his mistakes. Fictionalizing undertaker of common sense, and the sense is spelled out like the money. Pun. Ulcerous failings. Ops gotta switch that, or oops gotta switch that. Look at my shoes. To you, the governor, we toast the things you've, I don't even think I can go that far on the thing, but F you, Polis. And it's the other F you, not the FCC non-compliant one. That's pretty good right here. Someone's sending in some text. Good morning. This is wild footage of a shark coming swimming down a street in Fort Myers yesterday. If that's a real picture, that's crazy. I hope it's a dolphin. Here's the long one. Toast. Here is to our governor for being brave and bold in cutting new and progressive roads into the Colorado criminal justice system, while past governors have relied upon gray-haired and feeble legal advisors whose connections to racist licensing institutions, which are wrongfully focused on such antiquated notions of stare decisis and jurisdiction. Our governor has sought out the advice of more enlightened, astute, active, and woke counselors. First, one of the most revered, beloved, and beautiful businesswomen who has the ear of more than 329 million Instagram followers, Kim Kardashian. In 2021, she earned her certification of mastering the legal trade when she passed California's first-year law student's exam, known as the, quote, baby bar. Second, in solemn respect for the fundamental principle of democracy, our state's leader has turned to the people themselves. Now that our world's online technology allows the masses outside of Colorado to easily express themselves to our leaders through meaningful online petitions at change.org, the governor can cut through the antiquated notion of consulting with elected representatives, elected district attorneys, or even the entire judicial branch by taking immediate and direct action. Governor Polis boldly relied upon those individuals who vigorously reviewed the facts available on our all-wise social media platforms, disregarding the obviously unreliable unanimous opinion of 12 conscripts, those are be called jurors, who sat passively and listened to boring lawyers and unreliable eyewitnesses. Our governor took speedy and decisive action without waiting, invoking the latest social justice concept of, quote, harm reduction, without waiting for the district attorney and the trial court judge to comment, and granting clemency to reduce the 110-year prison sentence of convicted murder trucker Rogel Aguilera Medeiros to only 10 years. Congratulations to you, governor. Job well done. Well, that is a mouthful. That's going to be tough to say without me drinking several times before that we get to it. But my goodness, that's some chock full of some good stuff right there. You're going to have to read that one. You can't do that toast from memory. Here's one, a toast to Polis. He's so business friendly that he gave Chick-fil-A a major boost with his meat out day trying to cancel the Colorado beef industry. That's funny. A toast to Polis for bringing more tourism to Colorado by way of abortion. Oh, my sweet God. That could be true, by the way. That's nuts. Blue shoes, Polis. That is true. If he's so into equality, shouldn't he respect Heidi enough to put in some effort? I despise his stupid Velcro shoes. That is all for the day. Governor, I want to congratulate you on all your accomplishments, from shutting down our state for COVID, which has had a devastating effect on businesses and causing employees to not want to actually work, to your devastating impact on crime, drugs, and treating criminals as victims. You personally have proven that you are not a libertarian, but a leftist. Thank you. My goodness, man, a bunch of these are coming in. And you guys can keep on coming. Oh, that's funny. The DART asteroid impact. Didn't he abolish the death penalty? He did. By the way, along with the help of the Democrats and Kevin. Oh, wait, that's redundant now. But also Senator Kevin Priola. Because all murders ought to be treated the same, whether it's one person on a street corner fighting over a drug corner, or whether it's somebody murdering 12 people in a movie theater, or a bunch of kids in a school, or setting fire to a, I don't know, a nunnery. Doesn't matter. All ought to be treated the same. Morning, George. You forgot one thing. Dems don't see female GOP as women. That's true, too. One thing, by the way, that we haven't pulled on, that is a reference to a poll that Emerge Colorado, which is a we only care about Democrat women candidates organization, that Emerge and the Working Family Party, which just screams out there's a picture of Stalin somewhere in their headquarters. But that poll came out and said that there was a significant number of Denverites who are interested in electing more women to office. One thing they never poll on is women, Democrat women versus Republican women. That would be interesting. That would be telling to me, especially with the unaffiliateds, wrongfully called independents. But then also, we now probably need to build into all of these gender-based questions cisgender, which I don't know where that comes from, but cisgender, I think, means you were born that way, right? Like very Lady Gaga, I was born that way. But the other one is transgender. We need to build that into the questions, too, to see how many folks are like, listen, anyone who is a woman from birth or anyone who later claims to be a woman or takes steps to change their gender, whatever, don't care. Those people all ought to fit into the same category. We ought to see them elected into office. I have a sneaking suspicion that folks will make a distinction between women who've lived their whole lives as women and women who have chosen over the last handful of years to become women. Each of them are entitled to run for office. Each of them are entitled to equal dignity and respect and all that. I just get a sense that if the point of electing women is nothing to do with reproductive organs, the clothes you wear, the things that you do with your private time, if they have more to do with you growing up in a community that hasn't largely recognized, then that is a difference, right? Like, we would need to see that. Now, if these Denverites who are polled in this poll are true to their commitment to see more women elected into office, well, by God, man, Denver, if it goes even 10%, 15% more for Heidi Ganahl and Pam Anderson, they're going to win. They are going to win if Denver and Boulder shift. And Pam and Heidi do not have to, nor can they, win Denver and Boulder. Can't happen. But even if they lost by less, what if they lost 60-40 instead of 80-20. If they did that, there is a strong, strong possibility that they will both be elected. I think Pam's going to win anyway, but I think Heidi can beat Governor Polis if Denver and Boulder just lives up to its commitment to see more women elected into office. Not all of them, just enough. That, of course, is where we're at the moment. Oh, man, I've lost control of this thing. Here's one, a toast for Polis. And you can hit us on these toasts, by the way. I should remind you, and I keep trying to give out the details because we want a ton of people to show up to this thing. We have a special event tonight in the 9 o'clock hour, of course. Not only Tom Cotton at the front end, but at the back end, Jared Polis, the Not-So-Libertarian Block Party, honoring Governor Jared Polis. It is going to be held at Market High Station, 2027 West Colfax. That's just south of the southwest on the side of Colfax and I-25 on that interchange. If you've been there before, the highway's right there, like running around and all that stuff. But it is off the highway. You take a little side road. Your folks at Google and Waze will get you there. And this is an opportunity to participate in something meaningful, magical. It also helps support the Independence Institute, which we love. Thinkfreedom.org. You go there. whatever the $35 ticket price is gets reduced by 10 bucks because you type in the word George. That's me. If you have one of the best toasts of the day, and it is picked by John Caldera, as it will be, for free, you get to go F-R-E-E. Easy to go to, not a huge commitment of time, but a wonderful payoff at the end of this thing. Go to the Not-So-Libertarian Block Party for our friend Governor Jared Polis this evening at Mile High Station. I believe it's at 5:30. I think it's 5:30 to 7 o'clock. Easy to get to. One more toast here. I think I can fit one more in as they continue to pour in here. Toast, thank you, Jared Polis, for another sleight of hand trick by automatically adding a 29, I think, cent, oh, $29, oh my God, $29 fee to car registration for an annual Colorado Park Pass. Given all the other fees you've imposed on Coloradans, most won't even know that this fee was added or that they can opt out of the fee. That is spot on. In fact, in the debate yesterday, he goes out of his way to some applause from his supporters to say, we've reduced the cost of an annual park pass down to $27, blah, blah, blah. What he doesn't say is he has done it through the most consumer unfriendly, deceptive practice. It's a deceptive trade practice. You know who says that? The Federal Trade Commission calls the negative checkoffs, the opt-out, a deceptive trade practice. And our state has now adopted it for the purposes of getting you and me to pay for someone else's park pass. By the way, I get a park pass every year. I love the parks. I love going to the Cherry Creek State Park, whether it's to run around their little 8-mile loop around the lake there, or go. We do Boy Scout stuff there all the time. I get a pass anyway. Happy to have paid for it, though. But instead, the governor comes in and says, you know what? Let's just build it into car registration. We'll make everybody pay for it. We'll let them say they want to opt out, but we're not going to advertise it. Right? There's no sign that says, hey, everybody, take a look. Do you want to check this box? You can get out of paying for someone else's park pass. My guess is they know that if they had said it was opt in instead, nobody's doing it. Nobody's going to do it. It is deceptive. It is an I hate consumers approach to funding someone else's interest in using a state service. It also beats the system. It's a tax on you that doesn't have to be voted on because they give you the quote unquote option, the discretion to get out of it. Imagine if they had offered a bill for you to pay for someone else's park pass or to subsidize it. You'd have said, no, thank you. They know that. So they slip it in. I wonder if we're going to get more of these in the future, more negative checkoffs. You can opt out of all these different fees. We won't tell you how to do it or about it, but it'll be there. Listen, when we come back, pretty sure, fingers crossed, Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. Then we'll get into the rest of the text, the toast, some other things. A lot of texts coming in here. We'll get to those as well. And then we'll finish up with John Caldera, toast of the day for free tickets. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.